Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is John 16, 16 to 33. So you can begin looking that up now. This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. After reading the passage, we'll hear the children's talk, so if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. And so let's hear the reading of John 16, 16 to 33.
A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world."
It is Gerald. Good job. So we know who this is. It's Gerald. Can you remember what we've been learning? What we've been learning through the Gospel of John? That's right. John wants us to do it with me. Do it with me. Know and believe Jesus is King. Now, Gerald, he was watching the news one night. His mum was busy chopping up the veggies for dinner, and the news was on, and he sat down and started to watch, and he got very concerned. He saw lots of bad things happening. He saw wars, and he saw people who were hurting, and he felt bad and queasy in his tummy because he started to wonder, oh, could that sort of thing happen here? Is that going to happen to us? And then he heard about bad people doing bad things to other people, and he started to get a little bit worried. He started to think, what if I come across someone who wants to do bad things? And he started to see news about a car accident. And he got scared and started to think, what if I'm in a car accident? What if while mom or dad is driving, someone runs a red light and they hit us? What's going to happen? And so he was watching the news and he got a bad feeling in his tummy, a really nervous feeling, and he started to get a bit scared, a little bit shaky, and he didn't know what to do about it. And then he remembered hearing about all the bad things that people were doing to Christians all throughout the world. He heard about how sometimes Christians were arrested, and sometimes Christians lost their job and their money because they were Christians. He heard lots of bad, he remembered lots of bad things that happened to Christians, and he started to feel even worse and wonder, what is going to happen to him? Will he start to suffer these things as well? He felt really bad, and his mum, who was sitting, or who was standing over there in the kitchen, could see that Gerald was not looking very good. And so she came over to him and asked him what was happening. And he told her how scared he was because everything seemed so out of control and he didn't know where to turn. And so his mum grabs the Bible and turns to the Gospel of John and read Jesus' words, "In the world you will have tribulation, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus says that no matter the bad things that happen to us, whether people mean to hurt us or whether it's an accident, whether it's just because of the normal hardships of life or whether it's because we're believers in Him, whatever suffering we go through, Jesus is bigger. Jesus is stronger. Jesus has overcome the world. And so we can trust Him. We can remember, we can know and believe Jesus is King even when all the bad things are happening. Okay, I want you guys to remember that when you know and believe Jesus is King, when you trust in Him, you are trusting in the One who has overcome the world. So let's close our eyes and hold our hands. We're going to pray and thank God that Jesus has overcome the world. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that when we trust in Jesus, we are trusting in the big, the glorious King who loves us, who is powerful, who has overcome the world. Help us not to be gripped by fear. Help us not to be worried when bad things happen. But we pray that we would know that you love us, that Jesus has overcome the world, that our future is safe with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's come and let's pray as we spend more time in this passage looking at Jesus' words. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we thank you for these words. We thank you for the heart of Jesus, wanting his disciples to be prepared for his departure. We pray that you would give us wisdom now as we look at these words, as we consider what they meant, what Jesus meant by them, as we consider what they mean for us. We pray that your Spirit would be at work in our minds, in our hearts, that we would hear and that we would believe and that we would have great hope and courage and faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, most of you will know that May last year was full of uncertainty and anxiety for our family. Beck was pregnant and was in hospital multiple times. She had two abdominal surgeries, one to repair a hernia and one which was an exploratory surgery because she was in such intense pain and they couldn't discover the problem. And so during that exploratory surgery, while they were there, they removed her appendix and they repaired her perforated bowel. And to top off the stress, that second surgery happened after Beck had been suffering through 10 out of 10 pain for hours the previous night, unable to move while we waited for an ambulance. We gave up on the ambulance coming and we finally managed to get her into our car. And then more, Beck had gone into early labour before that second surgery at 19 weeks. And so we were expecting to be arranging a funeral for our baby. Life doesn't often go to plan. Something most of us learn pretty early is that we are not in control. We often pretend we are. We think that we can order our lives. We can try and control as much as possible to minimize surprises. But we're all just a moment away from our entire world being rocked. That could look like anything. It could look like a medical disaster, a betrayal, an accident, a financial disaster, war. Our lives are vulnerable. The disciples are heading into the unknown. Jesus has been preparing them for it, but they haven't understood. Jesus will be going to the cross the next day. And as he prepares his disciples for that, he tells them, your future is secure. Jesus tells us that in him, your future is secure. We'll tackle Jesus' words under two headings. Verses 16 to 24, we're told there's eternal joy in Jesus. And second, verses 25 to 33, there's eternal peace in Jesus. In Jesus, your future is secure because in Jesus, there's eternal joy, and in Jesus, there is eternal peace. So let's turn to that first heading, verses 16 to 24. There's eternal joy in Jesus. Now Jesus here is coming to the end of what's called his farewell discourse. The farewell discourse covers from John 13 to John 16, where Jesus is preparing his disciples for his betrayal by Judas, arrest by the temple soldiers, trial by the religious leaders, handing over to the Romans and his crucifixion. And he doesn't want the faith of his disciples to be rattled. He wants them to know that this is all planned, that the future is secure, even as tragedy happens. But the disciples are still clueless. He says in verse 16, a little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. And they respond in verses 17 and 18 by saying, we don't know what he's talking about. See, the cogs aren't connecting in their brains, that the puzzle pieces aren't coming together. Now, it's easy for us 2,000 years later to look down on them. We're 2,000 years after all of these events, we know the end of the story. They were living through it. They were full of glorious expectations for the Messiah, and him being crucified wasn't one of them. Jesus has been undermining that expectation all through these last 3 years of his ministry, but now he's coming to the pointy end. And so he explains, verse 20, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Jesus' death will be polarizing. His disciples will mourn. Of course they will. Because they still won't understand. They'll mourn because he's their friend, wrongly put to death in the most heinous way invented. But they'll also mourn because all of their hopes, all of their dreams have been killed along with him. The world will rejoice because they will have killed the one who has been exposing their sin and hypocrisy. But there'll be a great reversal. Their sorrow will turn into joy, like a woman giving birth. Through the sorrow comes joy, and many women here have experienced that. Many of the men have witnessed it. We've probably all seen depictions of it in movies or TV shows, if nothing else, and assuming everything goes right, this is exactly what happens. A time of pain, tears, longing for it to all be over, and the women probably feel the same way. That was to see if you were listening. I didn't hear any chuckles. That's all right. Verse 22. Did you hear it? You heard it. Yeah, that's right. You heard it? Good. Excellent. Verse 22. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. At his death, they would be full of sorrow, but when he rose and when he appeared to them, they would be full of joy. Jesus would rise, never to die again, so their joy could never be taken from them. Jesus isn't saying that they'd never go through hardship again. Just look back at what he said earlier. They would be hated, thrown out of synagogues. People would think that they would be put to death by people thinking that it was an act of worship to kill them. But through all of their hardships, they'd have eternal joy. How? Because finally, they would understand what his death achieved. They'd know and believe Jesus is the King who came to save his sinful people from judgment, that he was the perfect sacrifice, which all of the sacrifices in the Old Testament were pointing forward to. Remember, when we sin against the God who gives us life, the only possible and right punishment is death. But God was so kind, so loving, that he established the sacrificial system so that instead of the sinner dying, an animal would die in their place. An animal would symbolically bear the punishment of the sinner so that the sinner could go free. But all of those animals were pointing forward to Jesus. Jesus was the innocent God-man, and by dying on the cross, Jesus really did bear our punishment. By his death, all who believe in him are rescued from judgment, adopted into God's family, redeemed from slavery to sin. More, because of his resurrection, his disciples can know our eternity is secured. This life isn't all there is. We'll serve the risen King who lives forever, who's defeated death, and we'll live forever with him. At that moment, they'd have full access to the Father. The sin keeping them outside, far from the holy God who punishes sin with fire, that sin would be gone. They'd be welcomed into God's presence as his beloved children, able to ask for anything in Jesus' name. There's eternal joy in Jesus. Joy because he died for sinners. Joy because he rose as Lord and King. Joy because we have full access to the Father to bring to him our requests, our concerns, our heartaches. Joy because no matter what the world throws at Jesus' disciples, nothing can take these glorious truths away. If you trust in Jesus, he says in verse 22, no one will take your joy from you. No hardship, no suffering, no persecution. In the hospital room, in the jail cell, in the house empty of loved ones, at the funeral, you can have joy, eternal joy, because in Jesus, your future is secure. Which brings us to our second heading in verses 25 to 33. In Jesus, your future is secure. We've seen that because Jesus died and rose. And because of that, there's eternal joy in Jesus. And in these verses, there's eternal peace in Jesus. Verse 25, I've said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. Now remember what that hour is in John. The hour, which is anticipated all through John's gospel, is the cross. After the cross, after his resurrection, when Jesus sees them again and they're filled with indescribable joy, Jesus will speak plainly to them. Until now, all of Jesus' life, it's as if his life has all been just a parable. A parable revealing the Father. God is spirit, he's invisible, and so God the Son became flesh so that we could, in a sense, see God. He revealed God through his miracles. Through his actions, he showed the compassion and love of God. He did it through his teachings, but plainly, the disciples didn't understand, not fully. They're still confused. They're still asking questions. But after the resurrection, it would be clear to them. Not that they'll know everything, but they'll understand that Jesus is the Son of the Father. He is the eternal God. They'll understand the mission God has for them. More, they'll be able to directly approach God themselves. When a young man or woman is romantically interested in someone, there's often a lot of subtle information gathering that takes place to determine if that person is also interested in them. I don't know if the same is true of those of us who are more mature, but the smitten boy or young man might get his friends to approach her friends and try and size up the situation. Your friend like my friend? Because my friend might like your friend. That happens because they're chicken. They don't want to risk embarrassing themselves with rejection. But the disciples don't need to be worried that God will reject them. They don't need to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, can you go to the Father for me and ask him to help me? I'm in jail for preaching the resurrection again, and they've already killed James, and Herod has ordered my execution for the morning. Do you think that you could convince God to help me? No. Thanks to Jesus' death and resurrection, they have free access to God. Verses 26 and 27, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Jesus is their mediator. Through him we are accepted by God. But we don't pass notes to Jesus to then pass on to the Father. We can have peace knowing God's love for us. He sent his Son for us. And now we can come through Jesus into his very presence. There's eternal peace in Jesus when we know and believe Jesus is King. No need to be anxious that we'll be rejected. God will accept us through Jesus. And with the repeated revelation that Jesus is going to the Father, the disciples think that the penny has now dropped. They've finally gotten it. They understand Jesus came from God. He knows all things. Finally, Jesus is speaking plainly. But still they don't understand. It's hard to know whether they genuinely believe that they understand or whether they're pretending. Is this like when you're asking someone to, when you keep asking someone to repeat themselves because you haven't quite heard them, they're not speaking clearly, and you've asked it so many times that you can't ask it again, and so you just sort of nod and smile and hope that the conversation goes the right way and that was the appropriate response. Is that what's going on here? Either way, Jesus isn't impressed. He hasn't started speaking plainly. That'll be after the resurrection. And even if they think they understand and believe, that won't stop them from running and abandoning him when Judas comes with the soldiers. When that happens, they won't have peace. They'll be terrified. They won't understand what's happening. They'll run away. But when they look back on that moment, they can have peace. Verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. They might feel defeated, but Jesus isn't. Through the cross, as Jesus dies for them, they can have peace. When they believe, they'll be forgiven of their sin for running away like cowards, loving their own lives more than Jesus. They can have peace because Jesus overcame the world through the cross. The very instrument the devil thought would overcome Jesus is the instrument that Jesus used to defeat and overcome him. In Colossians 2:15, Paul wrote, "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to death, put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." In the context, Jesus is saying that at the cross, Jesus takes away Satan's greatest weapon against us. He takes away our sin. So Satan has no power over us anymore. He can't accuse us because our sentence, if we're trusting in Jesus, has already been carried out. The death, the judgment that we owe has already been experienced, already been enacted. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. In Jesus, your future is secure. Because through Jesus, there's eternal peace. And that peace is found at the cross. And this brings us to the end of Jesus' farewell discourse. Next week, we'll listen in to Jesus' prayer as we anticipate Easter. But we've been anticipating the cross all this time. Jesus has been preparing his disciples for his departure, preparing them for what life would be like without him by their side, answering their questions directly, taking the brunt of the world's attacks. They're entering into an unknown, an uncertain experience. The uncertain world is a scary world, but it's because Jesus is going that they can have certainty. It's because Jesus is going to the cross and will rise again that their future is secure. It's because Jesus shed his blood for them as the sacrifice for sin that they can have eternal joy and peace. They could have eternal joy and peace. They could have a secure future in spite of the troubles that they would face in the world. And so can we. All around us, people are longing for joy, but they can't find it. They search for it in sex and romantic relationships, in romance, but that eventually dries up. They have a messy breakup, they feel used and abused, but then they move on to the next person, desperate to feel validated, worthy, worthwhile. They change their gender, but still their problems don't stop. They search for joy in drugs, or at least an escape from the sufferings of life. They search for joy and peace in the lotto, because if they can win those millions, then life will be set for them. Never mind that often those who win the lotto are left off worse than before, having blown through all the money that they win. They search for joy in their families, in their children. All their hope is on them. They idolize them, but their children can't bear that weight. They disappoint their parents, and so the parents' world is turned upside down. Where are you searching for joy, for peace, for security in this world which is so insecure, where a car accident can turn your world upside down? where a ruptured aneurysm can destroy all your hopes and dreams. See, we're all tempted, Christian or not, to put our hope in something which can't live up to it. We're people who so easily live by sight, not by faith. We live for this world, not the next. This mortal life, instead of eternal life. But if you're going to have lasting joy, lasting peace, if you're going to have a future which is secure, despite the trials and the hardships and the uncertainties that you will face in this life, you will only find that in Jesus. It's only when you trust in Jesus that your sorrow in the face of death and hardship will turn to joy. Just think about it. What can this world offer when hardship strikes? A pat on the shoulder? An encouragement to get up and move on and work hard to move past it and try your best to use the rest of your limited time here on earth to make it a happy time? Jesus offers so much more. Instead of focusing on this world, making the most of what you have here, he offers security. See, your world could fall apart and be obliterated with no hope of recovery, and your future would still be secure. You would still have eternal joy and peace because through Jesus, you've been forgiven. He went to the cross for you, and he purchased eternal life for you. If you trust in Jesus, the instability of this life can't touch the security you have in the next. No matter how painful this life is now, that pain and hardship is like a grain of sand compared to the Everest of joy and peace you have in eternity with God. Stop searching for security in this life. You'll never find it. Everything here is a moment away from disaster. Instead, surrender to the one who went to the cross and who rose and poured out his Spirit, and who will one day return. If you do that, your joy will be full as you join yourself to the one who has overcome the world. Because in Jesus, your future is secure. Let's come, let's pray to this one who has purchased our future. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have sent Jesus and that in him we have hope, we have life, we have joy, we have peace, we have security for our future. Thank you that though all the world turns against us, though we face suffering and trial in this life, the Lord Jesus has overcome the world. We thank you and praise you for him. We pray that our hope would always be in him, that we would not turn our eyes to something else, that we would not be fooled into thinking that we should look for something in this life to provide meaning and purpose, to provide security and hope. Lord, all these things here are fleeting and passing away. But Jesus is the risen King, the one who rose to purchase our salvation. And so we ask that our eyes would be fixed on him.
I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.